free food.
So can everyone come to order, please? You don't have to. I just wanted to say that. Anyway, welcome to our LERIC meeting. Let me make sure. Sorry, we got a little late start. Got a little bit of technical difficulties, but I think that we have overcome it. Yes, we have. So welcome. And now Mr. Matthew Overlander will lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Just pretend the flag is burning.
They always say it's to the north. Is that what they say?
Is it?
Yeah, this is this direction. Everybody, this is the screen.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No self is required.
So, yeah, no chance. Lancey, for every presentation, just have a flag just in case.
Right? No, even if it's in your
little bit. Just a waiver.
What we're going to start doing is we're going to start putting a flag as a backdrop.
Absolutely.
On the,
we're good to we have staff.
On the presentation. Okay. So, first item on the agenda is the approval of the meetings from our last open meeting, which was held on October 14th. We have copies of the minutes in here if you need a copy. Does everybody have one?
I motion we accept the minutes of the October 14, 2016 open meeting.
Second.
Thank you. Meetings so approved. Minutes so approved. And now we're going to start the work group reports and deliverables. Each work group will have the opportunity to present for approximately 5 minutes. They will provide us with a quick report on their progress, what they went through in order to get to the deliverables that they have. And then at the end of the presentation, they'll simply enumerate the deliverables. The deliverables will be posted on the website for anyone to who would like to examine them further to go in and avail themselves of the deliverables. So we start with the ESL work group.
Where should we?
You can go over there at the podium.
Okay. I'm Cindy Diaz.
And I'm Marianne Moss.
We are the ESL Subject Matter Experts Work Group. So we have a PowerPoint that's showing in the middle there, and we had 3 goals. We gave ourselves an A+ because we had alignment of course outlines and articulation with those course outlines with community colleges. What's the goal? Approaches for contextualized acceleration, meaning modular classes that speed up the rate of learning, and articulated student needs based on our focus group findings. Here is shown a graphic of how we came together to put the course outlines together. Last year, we had all 4 USDs work on all 6 levels of ESL, and we came up with our 6 drafts, which are being piloted this year, and they're being articulated with the community college districts courses as well. Okay, these are the approach.
also that from the student needs assessment that we did, that there are several different areas that we looked at. On levels 1, 2, and 3, the students liked the approach of traditional classroom and a few modular experiences through that. When the students get to levels 4, 5, and 6, they like the modular approach, specifically broken out into listening and speaking and reading and writing.
And we found that the students preferred and needed a basic foundation of language skills at the very beginning levels, especially levels 1 and 2. And at level 3, they could start to move towards their goals at a more accelerated rate. And here is the pathway for either, it says levels 4 through 6, but possibly may start earlier at level 3 once they have their basic understanding. So this track is of the vocational track or career Bessel and career English. We have several pilots going on with Bessel Health Careers. Burlington English has different career pathways that we use with students. There's a business strand and there's technology and soft skills. The second track after the foundation is achieved is the academic track. So the notion being that we would be finding out what goals students have through their ISP, EISP, and teachers may do this in the classroom. That's unclear as of right now. But once they do know, they'll be guided towards the track that where they need to reach their goal in a quicker manner. So the academic track will focus on making students college ready and also focus on higher level of written and listening English.
From the focus groups studies that we did, all of our essential component USDs participated in the focus groups. We had about 37 students in total, and we are in the conclusions and findings to present to all of you. We wanted to find out about their career academic and their family and their personal needs, so this was important for them. We found that they liked the modular classes in listening and speaking and reading and writing. We wanted to keep the students at level 1, 2 and possibly 3 at the traditional way of learning, and then modular classes coinciding with their schedule and with their skill or remediation level for the upper level students in levels 4, 5, and 6. Also, many people go to school to help their children do their homework. So we wanted to have ESL for success, and there were children who would be involved, and parents could help their children. That's why they're in school. And on the last part, we found out also that we wanted to offer educational videos and ways for students to take homework so that they could learn on their own and be busy working at their jobs and be able to learn ESL as well. So we found this out from a large group of students. What we found out also from our group that was important is that 22% of the participants wanted to go back to school and get a high school diploma. We also said that 66% of those participants stated they wanted a class at least 5 months. So that was an interesting finding. Some of the students liked the traditional and modular approaches to the classes. They wanted to have the combination. And 29% of them said they definitely wanted the educational videos to take home, similar to the whole distance learning that we used to offer. This way they can do both.
Just a quick question. You talked about, you said 37. Did I miss that? There were not just 37 students in the focus group.
No, there were 37 students from all groups.
So, yes. So 37 students made up the total focus group.
Exactly. We took all of our percentages from those groups.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And then 41% of the participants wanted to use their English language skills to help or maintain continue learning English so that they can progress with their jobs and do a better job of either customer service or any of the communication skills that they need to have.
Can I add just a couple of things to that? It was dependent upon which area was served. We got different answers. So all those are the combined answers of everybody. It was found, for example, in Culver City, is it a very different population than in more central Los Angeles. So those students preferred a longer period of time for classes. They have different needs as opposed to more urban schools have. They want to get through it a little quicker, and they're surprisingly not 80%, as we had shown before, were there for jobs. It was only the 41%. There were quite a lot of students who were there for a variety of reasons. And so this showed us that they need all kinds of different methods and ways to learn English and their other and achieve their goals through different delivery methods such as distance learning, different modular classes, different scheduling combinations of classes, and different focus of subject matter. So,
I also wanted to add one other thing. Many of the students felt that they could get through the level of understanding and going up to the next level. We take them 6 months. Others say it might take them a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So they have varying degrees of ideas about how long it can take them to complete their ESL level and then move on to the next.
And I want to say that this is what the students thought themselves. And there's a caveat to that because we as teachers know what actually happens in the classroom. So they may have an idea of what they want. They may be not have the confidence that they can complete a class sooner. A lot of students like to hang back with their teachers and stay. And we all kind of thought that we need to shift the way that we approach ESL in that we need to stress the goals. We need to enable our students and empower them to be able to achieve their goals quicker.
One other thing also, we wanted to be able to have a method of streamlining their learning curve so that they could move from one level to another and achieve their final goal of going on either college, getting training in career technical ed, or just to have that knowledge that they could communicate with almost anybody in the community. So there was three different types of students that we looked at and we put them in categories.
And these are the remaining work tasks that we have this year. So we're going to test our aligned curriculum out in the field a bit at various of the USD school sites and possibly at community college. We're going to gather that data from those teachers and possibly modify the course outlines and we have to get a professional development plan to roll out the course outlines for next year. We have pilots going on and we need to report on those pilots for our templates. And, by March 31st, we'll have the PD plan. That's our next one. And by June 30th, we'll have all the other reports ready.
Any questions? So this is kind of being piloted on USD campuses, but also ICTV campuses?
We have a couple members on our team, but they haven't been there the last couple of times. But as soon as they return and we'll offer it, we don't know what they're able to do.
I have a question. Thank you so much for the presentation, and just thank you if there's any work group members here. Tremendous amount of work being done, so congratulations. Just had a question. So basically with ESL, we're looking at kind of two separate tracks, kind of a CTE vocational track and an academic track. So both roads could potentially lead to post-secondary, okay? So I guess, to what degree are the college career readiness standards sort of embedded in both tracks? So it's not like students choosing one or sort of at the expense of something else. Does that make sense?
We haven't thought of it in those terms. However, I don't think they would be losing anything because we have course outlines that we're using that have academic English, for example. Let's say that the Vessel Health Careers class has a lot of medical terminology in it, so it's not lacking in that respect. But that's something to consider.
Bob has a question.
Which LACCD college is the faculty represent? Do you know?
City College and Southwest College.
And we're working with, Culver City is currently working with West LA College to align ESL curriculum.
So we need to get both those colleges plugged into this sooner than later, I guess, right?
It's difficult because there's, you know, one member or two members, and then they have one that very judicious. So it depends a lot on individual schedules.
Right, we'll follow up on that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy and Marianne. And now, Deanna Matsumoto will present on behalf of the ABE work group.
The tasks are on the top. The focus group they had, I'll just go over their three recommendations. One, and the difficulties. One of the problems that they discussed that they had, some of the subject matter experts struggled with trying to find the reason why we needed a student focus group in terms of the long-range plan. So once that was clarified, it was easier for them to proceed. And also the recommendation with a face-to-face Schoology tutorial. Schoology is our learning management platform, and they were sharing information on focus groups on the tutorial, and some members struggled when they first started to get onto Schoology. But the recommendations are as follows. The primary reasons for attending adult school were to obtain a high school diploma and or career training. And the recommendations were pretty across the member district. They wanted a beginning reading class, beginning level reading class. Also, one of the recommendations is for all the ABE work group school districts to offer more small group teacher-directed courses in English language arts and math, as well as small group teacher-directed instruction in math study labs. Another recommendation was for the LARAC ABE work group school districts to work more closely with their ESL program coordinators to provide ESL students with college and career readiness pathways, conversation and pronunciation classes. And this would enable them to have more success, academic success in ABE adult secondary education and career tech education. And finally, Laura should offer a focused vocational ABE reading and math curriculum to support CTE students as they move forward on their college and career pathways. They're also tasked to evaluate current assessments across all member districts. They looked at alignment between CASAS and TAFE, reading and math. The difficulty was they found they didn't have enough time to complete this task. And they also need more parameters and specifications regarding assessment crosswalk for the board to progress. They were also asked to evaluate the need for curriculum alignment between the member districts, and they confirmed, especially ADE beginning level reading needed alignment, and they needed contextualized math instruction. And student placement was inconsistent between the districts in math and English language arts. And the recommendations was to have a clear definition and profile of the ADE student between ADE and ASE to differentiate those students, to offer three levels of reading instruction, and to offer modularized vocational ADE math curriculum. The pilot programs that they're assessing is in progress now. Right now, they are waiting for more. They chose not to make recommendations because they want to have more summary data and assessment material available. And going forward, they're working very closely with the CTE program. So they're going to start working very closely with the CTE programs on, I believe, six pathways to help contextualize the vocational math program. And I think you'll hear more from the CTE program.
Thank you, Deanna.
Lancey, I had one question.
Oh,
was nobody from the subject matter experts from the ABE ASE group available to report?
That is correct. Unfortunately,
that's unfortunate.
The ABE group were not available today.
That's too bad. Okay, thank you. Who put the slideshow together? Was
the
it
team.
The team did?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, just a few comments, if I may. I realize none of the work group members are here, but I know just a general comment, which I think will apply to many of the other work groups. You know, there's a lot that's changed since a lot of these work groups began, particularly vis-a-vis student assessment. And as most of you probably know, the state has essentially mandated a common assessment. Obviously with WIOA as well as AEBG, and that is CASAS. So I'd like the groups to, I think, if they're not already, and they may be already looking at this, looking at how the other assessments sort of line up with CASAS, because again, that's going to be an assessment that will be used across the five districts. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there for consideration.
And just a comment from the Montebello people that were SMEs in the group, they really felt like the group worked well together. They were like of one mind. They got a lot accomplished. So they were very pleased about their work in that group, just so you know.
Wonderful. Thank you, and thank you for your suggestions, Mr. Scott. Mr. Miller?
Yeah. So is the intent of all of this to develop common curricula across the consortia? Is that the intent, or what are we trying to accomplish with this?
Yes, that is one of the intents, either to create common curricula or to evaluate the need for it.
So articulate it in terms of articulation from district to district type thing? Is that kind of thing?
Okay. With choices. So kind of a variety within that, people can like move to the one their suits their local needs.
Well, so AB 104 indicates that we should align curriculum between all of the member districts.
So it's alignment. It's alignment. Okay, across districts.
Yes.
So again, our faculty need to be pretty actively engaged in this conversation.
Uh-huh. It's alignment across members. So you're right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking at our dean over there. Anyway, she's new, so we'll get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so now we will proceed with the ASE work group. I believe Mr. Mark Cavanaugh. will make the presentation.
I originally used more sedate colors for these slides, but a colleague said I should use youthful color, optimistic color, and I thought, yes, I'll make for a lovely contrast with the presenter. We were tasked with looking at high school diploma requirements across the agencies, and, you know, really we found that substantially because of the state requirements that the different agencies were pretty much in alignment. There were a couple things. One important difference was the math requirement for LAUSD, and we did recommend that this be brought into alignment, but probably later we do a more thorough alignment. I'll talk about that more later. Also, we were tasked with looking and thinking about the idea of VAES or FAS, the idea of vocational ASD classes, and we're very excited about this idea, whether it would be modules within existing courses or specialized courses, ASD courses that would be part of a vocational pathway. So we have made the recommendation to begin working with CTE to develop these kind of courses. In terms of high school equivalency preparation, one of the recommendations was that we develop modules, by way of accelerating students' study, develop modules that would be prepping for the test, but also giving the students chance to earn credit in course, high school credits. So that was one recommendation. One of the things that emerged from the conversation was, the whole idea of a good diagnostic for the test. I've been told that it's a bad idea to have your ex-wives or your ex-husbands in the same room at one time, and that probably is a bad idea. And the same is true when it comes to vendors. When we all started talking about diagnostic tests that were supposed to help us prepare students for the high school equivalency, no one was really satisfied. So we're definitely on the lookout either to develop this or to find another vendor, because none of us were completely happy. In terms of dual enrollment, and one of the interesting things about meeting in this work group was LAUSD has many far-flung schools, so we often found out things about our own school as well as the other agencies. But there are some very promising practices about dual enrollment. One school has a practice where they enroll students in ABE, upper-level ABE, and ESL at the same time. They're putting ABE students dually in high school equivalency prep, and this is promising, and we're watching that, and we'd like to see more of that attentive. The other kind of dual enrollment that's happening, and it's happening in a very localized way, is there are lots of schools within our district and the other agencies have students who are enrolled in a community college class while they're attending a K-12 adult. This is great. It's developing slowly and locally, and really our recommendation is that K-12 adult students be treated the way K-12 secondary students are. They have that same sort of encouragement and leg up, since we're sort of in the family. In terms of articulation, we were asked to look at the articulation that exists. That was a quick job because there really isn't any articulation. We would like to, we would love the idea of articulating with community colleges. In other words, when students finish certain math classes and certain English classes that are well-defined, that they could place right into a credit class. The research on this is pretty unambiguous. That's exactly what we all would like to do. It is interesting. One of the recommendations we had is to begin using an expository reading and writing class that K-12 uses this course right now allows high school students to place without, you know, place directly into a CSUN class, but we have nothing like that for community college. So that would be something, that was one of our recommendations. And some commonality in terms of the assessments we're using, but we felt strongly as a group that we want to move towards using multiple assessments. You know, pretty much all the agencies are using all or some of these, but LUSD particularly has a pretty stringent use of the TAFE and the TAFE alone. So our recommendation was multiple measures. We're doing one of the pilots we're working on now is high school equivalency distance learning, and one of our dropout recovery section had used multiple measures. So as this pilot progresses, we'll have some interesting data to see how that actually works. We developed a good comparison chart of a lot of these online products that are being used, and some of them, all of them are it's relatively early days, early stages. By and large, the group felt very happy with, lots of critiques, individual critiques, but happy in general, and really, recommended that more of this be done, and in many different ways, as blended, as distance learning, as, hybrid instruction. In terms of our focus groups, some of the things that really jumped out, and we did, all of the agencies did focus groups, LAUSD schools, I think we did three at three different sites, and one of the things that really jumped out is, some of the things that jumped out was the desire for more flexibility, program flexibility. Students wanted Saturdays, they had the opportunity to do online and blended, and things as simple as being able to take textbooks home. Some of the key program enhancement suggestions that, one of the key ones was childcare. And the other one was there was a real sense of students needed more support in the pathway into ASC, more of a sense of, where they were going to get to ASC, and support on the pathway out. So those are two things we made recommendations that we developed. And then we need more of everything. Thank you.
Okay. Just a couple comments. First of all, I think Mr. Kavanaugh is actually quite bright and shiny.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. Now, I think the piece on the dual enrollment, I do want to kind of emphasize that I think is really a best practice. We sort of have had a historic partnership with the community college in the East, with a dual enrollment course offered at East LA Skill Center in partnership with ELAC, and I've heard that it's quite successful. And I also heard that was the first time that had sort of happened within the division. Of course, it's more common in K-12, but I think expanding those opportunities is really valuable. And I think one of the benefits is, too, it helps inform our program in terms of if there are skill deficits that we need to beef up on our end to make sure students are prepared, placing into, ideally, the credit programs. That, to me, is another benefit as well. So thank you. Great presentation.
Yeah, it really was a great presentation. Thank you. In LA Community College District, across our nine colleges, we are making a concerted effort to beef up in a significant way our adult education programs, much of it thanks to LARIC and the state resources that we're getting now. So this is very encouraging, and bridging from the quote-unquote non-credit to the credit programs in an ASC perspective is something we really want to engage in. So thank you for all the efforts out there. And if there are specific partnerships with one of our nine colleges, just let Adrian Ann or myself know, and we'll certainly endeavor to try to get those dots connected and moving on that right away. And I know all nine of our college presidents are very supportive of this right now, including our chancellor. On the distance learning piece of it, do any of the other agencies, are they set up to grant non-credit credit? I mean, can students take full distance learning courses, or are they more blended? Are they more web-enhanced? Does the distance ed technology enhance a ground class, or is it really truly a distance ed course?
Well, that's actually, that's a very good question, because we have adult independent study, but in terms of distance learning, which is at this point is strictly high school equivalency prep.
Okay. High school diploma.
HSDP.
For the test, the Aztec is...
But Culver City, we use APEX, and it's a full online course for high school diploma, so none of it you necessarily have to do it. But, and it's not a blended. It's not like they get part of the class on ground and then the other part away.
So your APEX is being done strictly at a distance?
They can work on it there if they want to show up there and get additional help, but it's not... But the credit is coming from the work they're doing 100% on the online course.
Okay. Yeah. What we found. We also, in terms of high school diploma courses, we also have worked with using the Edgenuity product. And these products, as we just heard from Veronica, are very similar to APEX in that all of the work is online. All of the instruction is there online. And so we are granting high school credits for that too. As Veronica said, in practice, it's been somewhat blended in the sense that typically students would do part of their work or all of their work with a teacher nearby. For the high school equivalency, there is a mandated once a week face to face meeting. So in that sense, it isn't purely distance learning.
Thank you.
So I do want to share that, like Culver City, Burbank uses APEX as well for the high school diploma program, and it's done so for a few years, and it's very successful. The other thing is, in terms of Saturday classes, we actually started offering high school diploma classes on Saturday. So if you know of anyone that wants to complete their high school diploma, works Monday through Friday, send them to Burbank Adult School. They can enroll and take classes on Saturday from 9 to 1. Additionally, because of the skills lacking in math and English, we offer math and English assistance. We don't call it tutoring, twice a month on Saturdays as well. And we have a counselor available on Saturday. And a lot of that is due to the interaction we have with students and realizing that those individuals that work Monday through Friday could not access our programs, even evening programs. So we offered to start offering more on Saturday.
Thank you. You know, one thing that about Burbank that came up that we were very interested in is that apparently Burbank is doing an ActiPlacer preparation class, in collaboration with the community college. And we were very interested in that. And one question we had was, what is the future for the ActiPlacer? Because we were all sort of interested in perhaps doing that, because that's another way to make for a smooth transition. But we weren't sure where that stood.
Well, I just was going to make a quick comment. I was very also encouraged by your multiple measures slide, because the reality is multiple measures is the way that most institutions are going these days because of the varying skill sets of our students and their life experiences and what have you. ActiPlacer is a pretty common instrument that most places use, but again, everybody seems to be heading towards multiple measures, so it's good to see that.
Yeah. I just wanted to add that we use GradPoint, and that's a complete online course. Right now, it's blended. They're doing some at seat time and some at home, but definitely moving, as the colleges are, all educational institutions towards online learning. So getting our feet in that and helping students to be able to do that and function through that, because that is kind of future what we're going for.
Well, actually, you know, I want to comment that we need to jump on that. I would advocate all of us as soon as possible, because the fact is people want choices in life. All of us want. Everybody in this room wants choices. and we want and choices in education as well. So online learning allows people to make those choices and to have that flexibility. And if we lag behind, they'll go where they can get those choices and that flexibility. So we either start providing that, or they, or folks will find a way to get those choices and flexibility.
Okay. Thank you, board members. Thank you. Looking, Mr. Kavanaugh. And now we move on to the next presentation, which is from the CTE subject matter experts. And I believe Lorena, Maria, and Richard Idolaya. Okay, I'll let you say that. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Lorena Sorrilla, and I am part of the subject matter expert group for CTE. And here is Richard. He has been working with us. He's from the community college. So we have been, actually, we are the group that has been blending our ideas and working. It has been a lot of work, right? But let me say something, because
I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Richard Adebaya, and I come from Los Angeles Community LA Trade Technical College. That's where I teach part-time, and I'm volunteering my time with there. I've been on working with the group for a couple of months since October, and I'm learning all the acronyms.
Good luck.
So, we'll change them as soon as you figure them out, Colin.
So thank you for your hospitality and listening to our piece here.
Can I just ask you both to let us know what your CTE, what your
background,
your expertise is? So.
Right here?
You hold it on your chin.
Okay. I teach electrical classes. I'm in the electrical construction and maintenance.
Okay.
And I teach first semester students hand tools and wiring classes for them to learn the electrical trade. I teach an OSHA class, and I also teach a careers class for people who are entering the energy and utility fields.
Thank you.
And then I also teach, I'm a C10 electrician myself, and I teach privately as well for journeyman electricians to get their California State certification exam. So that's a little bit about myself.
Thank you. I've been teaching child development, what is my passion, for several years, almost 10 years for the district. And I've been actually coaching students in the academic field also, and try to place them in a higher learning, because we do have an articulation agreement for my class with the college. So, and it's been in place for years. So this is nothing new for us in child development, so we work already with the colleges, and we're training the students to be prepared for college and beyond, hopefully. Well, our presentation, it says about it was hard to articulate all the courses because the requirements were so different for each class, for different districts. But we have been working very hard and getting information and trying to get all the group members together to agree with what's going to be our requirements, because the course outlines, as I mentioned, the requirements are different in every course outline. Some of the progress and difficulties, of course, is the prerequisites. We need to align them with reading, math. No prerequisites were in some of the course outlines, so it's not easy to try to figure out which level of English. If we put it so high, then the students will not be able to join the class. So we are talking a lot with counselors and other instructors to try to make sure that we create the right pathway for the students. Okay, progress some difficulties with the attendance. Well, we are a small group, and we've had a little bit of trouble again with most of the group, but it really looks in our group because we are only 7 or 8 people, so as opposed to probably 15 or 20 in other groups. Mm-hmm. But we're doing great, and we're doing even better from now on. That was before. Now, we are working on the focus group. Since the college didn't start the classes until February, we didn't have a sample from the colleges, so it would have not been fair to conduct this type of study and all the research that we're doing. And we are talking about the labor market. We are trying to investigate which are the course outlines that we should be working on and make creating the pathways. So we are still working on our focus group findings. We're doing all the research, and actually Richard is going to work on the report that is coming soon. Articulation, we are still trying to working on the articulation. It's been a process because we have different persons that we have been referred to, but I know Richard has been emailing and talking to people to get these articulations going.
So Richard, on that first point, inability to locate a point person at the community college, are you talking about at the district level at one of the 9 colleges, or?
That's been solved. I had a recommendation from Lansi, and he referred me to someone.
Okay, very good. Good.
We're moving forward.
Thank you.
So I guess that's all our information. We have over 20 pathways that we are working, and we all bring our expertise, or we try to find the information, and we are creating these pathways for the students. Hopefully, having in consideration that now we are going to use the CASAS testing, and all this information is very helpful for us because we need to start looking at things differently. Thank you.
Thank you. Great work. I just had one question. So I know one of the challenges with CTE, at least at LAUSD, and I think, you know, as we're thinking more regionally, is this idea of doing a better job of including business and industry representation and what that looks like, and also in terms of who are those folks, and not having 10 different, you know, folks approach them to be on all these different committees, but trying to kind of maybe consolidate that work, particularly as we're trying to work in a regional capacity with the pathways that you're talking about, and making sure that we have, you know, really sort of viable business and industry input to making the programs truly successful. So I'm just wondering, has there been some discussion around that in terms of the CTE group?
Well, thank you for your question. Yes, there has. However, that was not one of the elements that was assigned to the work group. The point person's team is actually in the process of reaching out to the Chamber of Commerce to work in collaboration with them so that we can have joint employer advisory meetings. Taking advantage of what they are doing on a regular basis, and we think that that would be most efficient and prevent a little bit of that employer fatigue from so many people.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, and now we go to the next presentation, which is the counseling worker. Melissa McCarthy, you can join us.
Catch me.
Thank you for having us.
My work keys over there by that computer. I better not walk out without a flash drive attached to it. Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. I'm presenting on behalf of the counseling work group. And we can go ahead to the next slide. It's just the cover slide. Okay. So So this is our mid-year report, and I'm going to give you a little bit of information on what we actually accomplished in terms of our deliverables in our last meeting and what we'll be doing next week. Okay, so at this point in the work, we have developed the paper version. Oh, and by the way, I believe this work group has been together for a year and a half. So a little over a year and a half. We developed the individual student plan, which is the first part of that. The first version was the paper version, and in these slides you're going to see some pictures of that. And that evolved and is evolving into the EISP, the electronic version of this, which will be a digital version that we hope to have available on a variety of different platforms so that students and staff in our partner groups can access student information. So also, part of the professional development plan was tasked to us as a deliverable. I'm sorry, the professional development plan in terms of implementation of the EISP. And part of the PD, PD fits into the greater communication plan, which we were also asked to develop. And a big piece of this we foresee would be the development of a universal tutorial that would walk both students and staff through how to use the EISP. Now, initially, we would plan to have, of course, you know, live people doing the trainings, but later on, as a supplement to this, and maybe simultaneously, having that universal tutorial would be very helpful. Anybody that does online training and actually accesses a variety of different websites, frequently they will have tutorials available that are very helpful. And it's great, it'll serve as a tool to refresh people's memory once they have that one-on-one intensive PD. Later, if they forget a little piece of, well, what the heck is that part of the EISP all about, they can go back and review it on the universal tutorial. Also, I wanted to mention in the communication plan that there will be an initial pilot rollout period, and we are recommending fall of 2017. It's our understanding that there will be 6 schools that will be piloting this initially, and that the PD, of course, will start prior to that, shortly right before that, so that we can provide some professional development initially to staff and to students. And we foresee that at this point, the use of the EISP will be voluntary in terms of students. Then there will be the extended rollout, which we foresee happening in spring of 2018. And all schools, ideally, would be involved, and all students in all programs would be involved in utilizing the EISP. And then the final deliverable that is in action, is working right now, is the resource directory. And this will provide access to support services through partner agencies in our local community. And I'll talk a little bit more about that at the end. Okay, so I'm sorry. If you could go ahead to the picture of the EISP. Okay, so for those of you that have great eyesight, a couple of key things here. This, of course, is the paper version. So what the electronic version will look like is going to be radically different, but it should still have the same components. So initially, you've got the demographic section. We foresee this as something the student would actually fill in themselves when they set up their account in the electronic version of this student plan. And then in the spirit of considering CASAS and other important areas that we need to track, Perkins, as well as special areas that we identify with our college partners, there's a section called additional statuses that's on that first page in the middle on the right-hand side. And what we did was we literally plowed through the college catalogs and talked to the partners, looked at our CASAS documents, Perkins documents, and tried to include every possible category and, of course, condensed them into this little box. Because we figured, well, if we're going electronic with this, we're going to try and help everybody out and kill two birds with one stone. Under that, we have a section for student goals. And then under that would be a section, the final part on that first page would be a section for the counselors and staff members to take notes on any meetings and counseling sessions they have with that individual. And then on the second page at the top, you have assessment. And because we are professional counselors, I can tell you that We always engage in multiple measures. That's just kind of naturally what we do. And so that will be a very easy transition, I think, for many of us. We listed a whole bunch of examples of assessments, but of course, there's certainly more than that. We do try to deal with students very holistically. Most counselors I know approach students from that perspective. And so the interview, besides the paper, pencil, electronic assessment tools that we are mandated to utilize, the interview is an important part of getting to know your student and, of course, developing relationship. When you develop a good relationship with your students, you can get a lot accomplished very quickly. The middle section of that second page has to do with partner agencies and also students with disabilities. We wanted to make sure that we collected that information so that we could make appropriate referrals and provide support services. And I'm just noticing that I'm thinking this will probably expand because in here, since our partner agency is, of course, the colleges themselves, and we are partnering with the local workforce centers, and we want to do that cross referrals, this would be an ideal platform in which to do that. Mm-hmm. Then on the bottom, you have the start of what would be basically like a plan. Student plan in terms of terms or semesters or quarters or whatever the system would be at your particular school. The first section is laid out for the ESL students. And the next page, if you flip to the next slide, would be a section for your ABE students, followed by CTE, and then the second page of that would be the high school diploma, high school equivalency students. Now, you might ask, well, why is CTE coming before high school diploma? It actually was more of a format issue. We really messed around with this and tried to just get it condensed onto as few pages as possible. So there's really not a reason to it, a logical reason except to fit it onto the pages. But once it goes electronic, it can start, you have to envision that a student or a staff member using this will be clicking on buttons from like a master screen. So you're not going to see all of these, obviously.
It'll drop down.
Yeah, you're going to click on a button. If you're CTE, it's going to go right to a page that's all about CTE.
Right.
Okay, and then the final piece on the bottom of that second page there is a section for planned post-secondary pathways. And what was interesting, when we had our college partners at the table with us during the development of this process, we quickly realized that this is actually more for us in adult ed, because there's not a lot of this necessarily that the colleges would need to use, except for maybe obviously the demographic information, whether or not they've completed a program, what pathway they're on, things of that nature. But we understand from the college partners that they, and of course we've looked at their individual student plans, which are very different than what we have set up here. Okay, so the next slide. Actually, we already covered that. So development, implementation, rollout. And then the next slide after that, please, is the resource directory. And I just wanted to mention that the resource directory is basically a repository for local community resources that the partners would be able to input in so that students can access. The idea behind this resource directory, anyone who works in counseling or support services knows that there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of resource directories in Los Angeles. But a lot of those numbers you call and a lot of those agencies are non-functional. So, and even if they are functional, you get down to dealing with them and they're not necessarily providing the top quality service that you would like to refer your students to. So the idea is that these particular resources that are input by us, the partners, would be those that are vetted by us at the local sites. And that the information, of course, would be current. Okay, and then the next slide also just has to do with the resource directory. And this is just a picture of what, if you decided, hey, I've got this great community CEO, this community-based organization that I'm dealing with, I refer my students there all the time, I want to add them to the resource directory, this is what the screen would look like. There would be a link on the LARIC website with the resource directory so that you could, in fact, input that information. And that concludes that. And then I just wanted to say that as far as focus groups, where are we at? So because the EISP hasn't been piloted yet, we couldn't obviously do a focus group on that.
But what we have done is we've put together a draft of our focus group, our guidelines and best practices for conducting a focus group. So we actually did our research to find out exactly what to do when you conduct a focus group, the appropriate way to do it. We put together a demographic sheet that we're going to use in our focus groups to collect some upfront data and save ourselves a little bit of time, because we don't want the focus groups, recommendations for focus groups are that they really shouldn't be too long. And then we have our focus group questions that we put together that basically are going to emphasizing two areas. We want to find out from students what their counseling experiences have been like thus far in their schools. And we also want to find out from them directly about any barriers or needs for counseling support services that they see. So the idea is that we're asking them to kind of envision their perfect counseling department. What would it be? And in our upcoming meeting, we will be agreeing upon, we'll go look at our draft of the focus group questions one last time. And then we will be conducting our focus groups, and the next time we present, we should be able to provide data in terms of what we found out. And the final piece for us is we are also developing the master guide, which we already started this, but we put it on hold because of these other priorities. But the master guide is going to be a collection of best practices with an emphasis on meeting the student needs and overcoming any barriers. And each of the partner agencies has already submitted to our group as a whole a list of everything that we feel are best practices that we utilize currently to do that. So the next thing, we're actually starting next week, we'll be formatting, well, we even did that, actually, think about it. We formatted what we thought the master guide should look like, and we're going to be plugging in the pieces from all of our partner agencies, and hopefully just condensing that into something very, very useful for all of us.
So, my turn. I have the mic first, Jill. Just kidding. So, just from a district that is one counselor, I can't tell you how valuable it is to have to be able to participate in a consortium, and have the counselors get information around best practices and stuff, and not feel so isolated all the time. So just on behalf of Culver City, thank you guys.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for the presentation. I'm really excited about the individualized student plan, particularly the EISP, which I think is going to be great. You know, and it's, I guess, from the K-12 side, it's sort of like, you know, the next evolution of the grad plan,
right?
Kind of, right? But I'm wondering, because I, as I would envision it, you know, this would be a piece, hopefully, that would help to kind of be a warm handoff to the community colleges, hopefully, because they, as they have individual, you know, they're mandated to do individualized plans, assessment, orientation. And so in one of your comments, I was just wondering, I mean, so if it's not useful in that way, if I understood that correctly, to the college, I'm wondering how could we make it more useful? And so I'm just wondering if there's been some discussion in the group on that.
There has, but our community partners attended, I believe, two of our meetings, and we haven't seen a community college partner at our meeting since. So we would like to, ourselves, we have ideas, but we haven't had an opportunity to share that. And I think on the back end, yeah, when we start developing pathways, we were talking about how we see this certainly beneficial, so that a staff person for the community college can access it and say, oh, I can verify immediately that this is what you've done. You've gone through ESL. You've completed your high school equivalency certificate or your high school diploma. They can see the history, which for any counselor, that's extremely helpful. But then that's kind of where it stops for ESL and academic, at least based on what the college partners were saying. The CTE would be a little more involved, though. If you had those articulated pathways, then for a CTE student, I could see where it might be a little more useful. But again, we have our own ideas, and we're happy and willing to share, and we're looking forward to having, continuing the conversation with the colleges.
Legislation.
place with this plan, it doesn't meet the criteria of what's required by legislation. So we would be requiring counselors to do it twice. So when the counselors, you know, what really were informed and right, you know, looking at the different variables or elements that went into this, but that it would be a good handoff in either paper format or either look at it with the student, but we have to complete our process because of the legislation requirement. And so they were, you know, our counselors were very upfront about that to begin with. But, you know, the alignment doesn't, so the way we were looking at it, the alignment doesn't mean to stay the same across five districts. It means aligning processes that we can create that peer handoff. This counts with the peer handoff. It doesn't mean that we can necessarily participate at the user level in the sense of inputting information because of what's required for us with the state. But it informs our counseling when we get, and when we bring on board the counselors that we'll be working with on credit completely. They'll know about this, but right now to train all of our counselors across, it just wasn't the right institutional fit at this point.
So I think then what we probably need to start exploring is either policy or legislative changes that help better align the policy field that guides this and or regulatory or statutory things that the Chancellor's Office and the DOE might be able to work on together so that we do have a more transparent
coordinated,
or what's the word I'm looking for with the two
seamless
things come together? Seamless, and another word I'm looking for, but it's transportable.
transportable,
so the things can transport from one to the other. Or portability, I think, is the word I'm looking for. So I think we can work on that. And we should work on that. Let me just say that I am beyond impressed with the amount of work that all of these groups are presenting. I mean, it's clear that there's a lot of great activity happening in the field by very engaged faculty and counselors and others, and I really appreciate that. The one thing I wanted to echo, because it came up in your presentation as well, working with the Chamber on CTE stuff, working with the LA Economic Development Consortium. I'm on the city's Workforce Economic Development Board. We're all doing the same thing. So we all really need to connect. And so when you're dealing with David Rattray and his people at the Chamber, David Black at LAEDC, and/or Bill Allen over there, we really need to make sure that we connect all the dots. Otherwise, we're all just doing the same work. We need to do it all together. So thank you so much. The presentation is very helpful.
Yeah, thank you. And I certainly didn't want to give the impression that we didn't get a lot of the community college reps coming, because they actually guided us in terms of, I think it's important to know what's useful for them.
Great.
And this is what's in the EISP now is more useful for us at this point. And then I wanted to just mention with the assessment, orientation, and counseling piece, what's interesting in the field is what's developing. We know that the colleges need to do that to meet their requirements, so we're aligning what we're doing with our college outreach people so that our students are actually taking care of all these pieces as far in advance as possible. And many of the schools have developed kind of like checklists, like what do you do prior to transitioning over to the community college? And then that, the counselors have given us feedback from the colleges saying that that's been immensely helpful to them because the students have already taken care of these items up front.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'd like to echo a little bit of what you said, because when we first started maybe 3 years ago, and Adrian and Anne brought forth that the colleges were required to counsel every single student, that was a great opportunity for all of us, because we don't do that in adult ed. So being a role model, her bringing that forward, and us having the opportunity, I think we've always wanted the ability to do that, but funding made it difficult. Now with LARIC and these requirements, we're really excited about the opportunity to counsel each and every one of our students. And I know we'll come together in a transferable kind of system, but it's a really good direction we're taking. Happy to do it.
Thank you, board members. Thank you, Melissa. And now, you just want to let everyone know that the subject matter experts, the people who have been presenting today, meet on a pre-scheduled basis schedules are will be posted on the website probably later today or tomorrow. Just to give you an idea for what the schedule looks like, that's basically the first month and a half or the first 2 months of the schedule. There's three pages of it, which indicates all of the meetings that the individual groups get together. It also includes the date and the location, so that if any of the executive team members would like to visit, you're always welcome to come in and visit to witness the work that's taking place by the executive, by the subject matter experts.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Can we applaud them all?
Yes.
Thank you. That I need to provide you with now have to do with activities that we are trying to do across districts. One of the mandates from AB 104 is for us to work as a unit throughout the region. And one of the elements that we have already approached a couple of organizations is inter-district training. So some PD will be coming out soon, hopefully in March and April, for members of all districts, so that we can have some cross-training on professional learning communities, integrated education and training, and online professional development. So those are going to be the general topics. We are trying to look for items that every single district can benefit from. We have reached out to CalPRO and OTAN, and now we are in discussions and meetings to finalize the particulars of each one of the presentations. Once the presentations are finalized, they will also be posted on the website, and they will be sent to you as well for dissemination to your networks. Also, I'd just like to make the announcement that if anyone is interested in making public comments, you can see the ADAS, you can view the forms that we need to fill out for public comments, which is coming in the next few minutes. Another update that we need to make is that the meeting dates, the open meeting dates that were discussed back in October, have changed as a consequence of, in order to make more efficient meetings, we have actually decreased the number of meetings. So we have more information to promote, to present, and we also have more content that is new to provide, to update you on. Okay, so the following are the next open meetings through May 12th of 2018.
These are for 17-18. This doesn't have the rest of this for you. Yes.
Right.
This is 17-18 meeting.
Right.
Starting in September.
Starting in September.
Because so they don't include this
more.
The end of this for you.
Right, so there's just one more meeting year, okay, and that's coming up.
Oh, okay, I'll be quiet.
But thank you for the clarification. Yes, this is for next year, next school year. Again, these dates will be posted on the website, so let's move on to, and just to note, on May 12, 2018, that's on a Saturday, because that coincides with the LERIC conference. And as noted, the first annual conference is actually coming up, and please save the date. That's going to take place on May 13th, and the next open meeting will take place on the same day. And so the conference will take place in the morning, and the open meeting will take place in the afternoon from 2 to 4. The location of the conference is the Sheraton University.
Because LERIC knows how to do a conference.
Yes. Okay, and just a been completed and turned in. You all have received copies of the reports. I don't want to bore the audiences to tears by presenting all of the particulars, needless to say, once the state receives that information, then that information is available for anyone to see at the state website.
I just want to take the opportunity to thank our illustrious project manager, Lanzi Estudios, one of the hardest working people in the world. And of course, his lovely assistant, Deanna Matsumoto, as well. Thank you for making Larrick look good. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now, if anyone is interested in public comment, this is the time. Are there any parts for public comment? No? Okay, so no public comment. We move on to the next section of the meeting, which is action items, of which we have none at this time. That makes the meeting go a lot faster. Next topic meeting will take place May 13, 2017. As we said, the time will be slightly different. It will be from 2 in the afternoon, 4, and the location will be the Universal Chair in Universal City. And with that, and unless there are any other comments or motions,
I like that. I think he closes.
The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. I think
he adjourns. Cool. I don't remember seeing that.
And there's the other one too. That's the second one. Is that the one you're talking about? Are you talking about the sort of the long one?
Yeah, yeah. They're both pretty.
But I like that one.
Thank you.
What a good thing happened.
It is really exciting.
Yeah, I know. My entire work
set of keys. Bob? We're enjoying it. We are really grounded. We keep it very close to the students. And I think your presentation
is great. You don't need these. Is it raining outside? Or is that what the noise is? Or is the air conditioning? Oh, I couldn't see that. It is raining? Elvis, can you go to my car and get me an umbrella? That wasn't in the job description? Are you sure?
Yeah.